All right. Thank you very much for coming in and having a chat with me. We're talking about Grip is Dead. It's a short that you guys have made, and it's going to be on at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival as part of, what is it?
The Sports Shorts Night, which is running July 8th.
Yeah, right. Okay. Now, tell me, the subject matter itself is really exciting, isn't it? Because it's all about trying to shoot fast cars doing fast things. So let's go to you first, Naftali.
Yes.
You're the cinematographer. So
yes.
Tell me about the challenges of making this as terrifying as it looks.
I think because it's such a... We haven't shot like something like this before, so it's just like getting the angles, like for you to feel the car like sliding into the corners and everything like that. Because that was something that we really wanted to capture, because we wanted for you to feel the car slide into the corner and being there with Patrick and stuff like that. And also Patrick is just bringing us to his world, basically.
Yeah, that's so, right. And, yeah. But what I noticed is that you, in that exploration with the camera, you got wheel shots, you got inside the car, you did a whole range of things quite besides the what the audience goes there to see, which is that fabulous sliding across the surface with lots of smoke.
Yeah.
So how did you do, what kind of cameras did you use to get those kind of angles?
The cameras inside the car?
Yeah.
The cameras inside the car, we used a GoPro.
Yeah.
And also on the side of the car, we used a GoPro. We just sticked it, like, on the side of the car. And we used the FX6 and a Sony a7 III and a Sony a7 S3.
Okay, and so you guys have met at film school, is it?
So yeah, we're both actually still attending film school. So both go to SAE... University College in Melbourne, and
and that's the reason why I brought that up is because you've plotted and planned this short, haven't you? And that's why the camera angles are so important to see if it works.
Yeah.
I think when we set out to make the project, a big part of it was that we really wanted the audience to feel the visceral nature of drifting. We really wanted to take them on board what it's sort of like. And I think our cinematography really reflected that choice. The choice in cameras as well was purely based on testing. We did a lot of testing for this film because we'd never shot something like this before. We knew how we wanted to shoot it, but...
You imagined it first.
Correct.
Yeah. And we also knew the testing was important because we never used the FX6 before, because we used other cameras, but not the FX6. And we researched and we realized, oh, the FX6 has like low light capabilities. So we just decided, okay, let's do a test. So we set a day aside, we tested it, and we were like, yeah, this is going to work.
That's right. And you also don't want it to break.
It's very expensive. If we break it, the school is going to kill us.
Very exciting. And how did you, because this is a profile of, it's a portrait of Pat Barley. How did you meet Pat?
I think I can probably talk more on that because I sort of introduced everyone to the project. So Pat Barley, funnily enough, is someone that I went to primary school in Darwin with, and... we reconnected working for the same company. So we reconnected and I basically said to him, look, I'm really interested in getting a little look into what your life is like as a semi-professional drifter. And I want to sort of tell that story. And I want the audience to feel what it's like for you to drift in a feeling sense. And Pat is, I think, a very hard subject. He's a very difficult subject to...
He doesn't talk a lot.
He's very...
Taciturn's the word.
Yeah. He's very, very quiet. He's very reserved and very stoic. So...
That's one of the reasons why it's so strong, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Because you've got this... juxtaposition, setting beside each other this stoic guy and the speed and elegance of the cars. I mean, I'm sure that this film is introducing a lot of people to the concept of drifting.
Well, that was also something we wanted to set out to do. We wanted to take the audience on the journey that we went on because we weren't really familiar with drifting ourselves. We wanted to...
I was familiar with it.
weren't familiar, so you knew about it?
I knew about drifting because of... I'm a huge fan of Tokyo Drift, Fast and Furious, so I knew about it. But when Mitch came up to me and said, hey, I know a guy who knows how to drift and he's a friend of mine. We work together, actually. His name is Patrick. I was like, yeah, let's do that. Like, why not just use him and everything? So, yeah, but I think the thing is I just didn't realize what I was getting myself into. That was, like, the part I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's a big deal, isn't it? I mean, how long was the shoot?
The shoot was 3 or 4 days. Yeah. We shot it over a week. We had a sit-down interview with him, filmed some scenes at his house. It was really interesting. When we actually went to his house, he had, like, a shelf. And it was, I called it the memory shelf because it just contained all of his memories. Whether he thought it or not, I saw that and I was like, oh, wow. You have a whole shelf filled with every little thing that you've ever done. I thought it was really nice.
It's a family affair. Correct. That's the other thing that was fascinating because you, in such a short film, you actually cover a lot of ground.
I thought so as well. I think... the family angle is something we really wanted to touch on because it's super important.
Well, you told a whole story.
Yes.
Which was what your brief was, wasn't it? Mm. At school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But the story went a lot of versions.
We had a lot of different concepts in editing. We went and put the film together. There was a lot more of a focus on drifting itself. In such a short time period, though, you have to really choose the strongest parts. So
it's a bit like those remarkable surfing movies where you can be completely lost in a wave, endless film of waves, as opposed to having a something that the wave is set in.
The longest part of the film is the end section where we're sort of with Patrick in this poetic setup for this final drifting run in the last sequence of the film. And we really wanted to communicate what his sense of release is. I think we succeeded quite well with that.
Yeah, we did.
He felt comfortable with you guys.
He felt very comfortable on the day. He was a lot more animated that day as well. He was so animated. He was so excited.
And you'll see it in the film. You can see like... when you're at his place and when he's at the track. Like, you can see he's
engaged. He's just
adrenaline and he's smiling you can just see it.
So ready to get in that car and just drive. Mm. And it's, I don't know, I compared it, when we did our initial pitch for the project to our class, I compared it to, like, a skateboarder. Some skateboarders are really, really low-key. They're not super big personalities. I don't think Patrick's a super big personality, but he, on that day, was so much more animated than he had been throughout the whole shoot that you couldn't help but, like, be like, yeah, you go out there and drift that car.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that you become quite engaged in why a person is so enamored of it. Just on another issue, why are you filmmakers? And for example, why are you a cinematographer rather than are you an editor as well?
Yeah, I'm an editor. I can edit.
Yeah.
I'm very versatile. I can edit, I can direct, I can do this. But yeah. But for me, getting into photography, I started with photography at first. So I started photography in 2016, 2015 as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Then for me, it was just like, I just wanted to have a good looking feed. I didn't really care that much. Then from there, it kind of grew. I just wanted something more. Yeah, because with still images, it's kind of like, I feel kind of a bit limited. So I was just like, I could feel like I can do something more. So I was just like, let me do film and see if it will give me what I want. And it did.
Mm.
So now I can say I can do both, moving and still. So I can just do both.
Yeah. And what about you, Mitchell?
So my love for filmmaking really came when I was younger. Like I was making films on my iPod with Legos. I made stop motion stuff and I just made it because I
loved it. You like telling stories.
I like telling stories. You know, I had a lot of, I was a lot more into stop motion and Lego stop motion. And then that sort of love for that sort of grew as I went through high school, and then I did media studies and I directed a bunch of projects, and I was like,
is that the part you like? You like doing the directing or bringing everybody together, or do you like the writing? Or
I'm a big fan of all of it. I can wear many hats. I don't have to be a director, but directing is where my strongest attributes lie.
You see visions.
Correct. I have a very vivid imagination, and I think my strong suit is being able to communicate that imagination to people, to build a really strong team and to really get a strong project made.
Well, it's obviously worked with Naftali. You were roped in. And both of you were surprised that it got into the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, but it would have been a process for you to actually take your film and offer it to a festival, right?
Yeah, I think you can speak about that.
So after we finished the film, we finished filming in July last year.
Mm-hmm.
We then had our exhibition that runs at our university and we showcased it. And I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, so it was good, but I knew it could be better. Mm-hmm. So we spent probably intermittently the next 6 months working on the audio mix, because I thought the audio mix was a really, really strong component of the film to actually bring the audience in. It was a really, audio is something that I really care about with film. I think it is 50% of a movie. If it doesn't sound good, it's not going to bring your audience
in.
Well,
I think you're right. And I did forget to ask, I did make a note, you had music in it, which means, which was important.
Yeah. The music was, we wanted something electric kind of a thing. So we went through a lot of inspirations of tracks and everything. And we brought in a composer.
Initially, we brought in a composer named James Otter, who produced the last track on the film. And then we had to make some slight adjustments. As I said, when we went to exhibition, we had some music in there that I was like, yeah, this isn't gripping me.
Well, what you're really saying is that process of playing it, hearing it, seeing people's reactions as well as your own, you tweaked it.
Yes. So we then got our head of sound, Ashish Koffel, to remix or redo the soundtrack for the start. And I think it's so much more punchy. I wanted it to really feel punchy. I really wanted people to feel like it was, I don't know, it sounds really silly to say like cool, but I wanted people to feel like it was like the coolest thing they'd ever seen is a car drifting against really vivid, very dark but punchy synth.
Works.
Yeah, it worked.
I mean, it worked on me, so.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's quite interesting because I did get a sense of what we had, the main man, the man that was the portrait. We had the cars, we had the action, but I did have a sense of the filmmaker making the film. Now, that's a good thing. That means that there's an intelligence behind what's going on. That's why I asked you about the camera work, because it's quite clear that it's happening, you know?
Yeah, and it's very important to be intentional with it, because the thing is, shooting cars is kind of different as compared to shooting like people. It's kind of different because you're shooting like an object and it has like shapes and it's rectangular and everything. So choosing angles that show the shape of the car, you're able to see like the tire just turn when he's about to do like a drift slide and everything was like really important and everything. So yeah, camera angles is very intentional. Also the cameras as well.
I think to add to that, the emotion of it, there's something so evocative about watching people drift really fast cars. And we wanted to really get that sense of speed and that sense of feeling.
Why people do it.
That's exactly right.
That's the question.
That was our guiding question, is why people drift.